Good morning. So recently I went to Greece, just got back a couple weeks ago, and there I am. That's, in case you're wondering, that's the Temple of Zeus to the my right, just over my shoulder there. Those columns are like 45 foot tall, pretty cool. But beyond that, you'll notice there's like a mountain, and that is the Acropolis. And on top of that is the Pantheon. And beyond that, on the other side, is the Areopagus, which we often refer to as Mars Hill, if you ever heard of Mars Hill or the Areopagus. And it was there that Paul speaks in Acts 17. And when he's talking to the guys in Athens, you'll read about that, the philosophers, that is just to the right. So they are... when he's speaking that in, about the unknown God, all of that, which is all built to their gods, the mythology, Greek mythology, they're up on that hill, which is where the Pantheon and these other temples are. So I feel like I kind of look like Paul. Paul was bald, and he had a hair, he had a beard just like this. And so I kind of like to think I look like Paul. So I was actually there trying to stage what Paul might have looked like as he was speaking to the philosophers of Athens and explaining to them about our God, not the gods of mythology. Then it gets worse. Gets worse. And then we were in Olympus. And, you think that's pretty funny, Kat? And you can laugh. No, by the way, laugh, because this was meant to be a joke. So we were in Olympus, and this is the Olympic Stadium, built 8th century BC. So this thing was there when Christ was on earth. Paul, completely aware of this place. This is where, you know, our Olympics come from. And so we were in that stadium, and I didn't know it, but it's really just grass all around it. It fits like 45,000 people around this stadium. And we were in there. And by the way, there was a lot of people. And right in the back there is where the judges would sit. There were a lot of people there. I just didn't get, they're not in the picture. They're all on this side. It's a big place. And I told my wife, I was like, I cannot be all the way in Greece in the Olympic Stadium and not like take off my shirt and make a, you know. It's like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, I don't care. All these people are there, and they're going to laugh or think I'm a dork, and that's okay. I just want the picture, so I did it. I just ripped off my shirt and did my little flex. I realize it's not impressive. I'm not really thinking that. But what I am thinking, though, is it was fun. But as time went on, I got to thinking about this, and it actually started to take on some real meaning. Because that was indeed the Olympic Stadium, and where Paul, when he speaks a couple times about running the race, he's referring to like the Olympics. You know, that was all the way back then. And when he speaks in 1 Corinthians 9, that stadium is what he has in mind when he says, do you not know that all the runners in a stadium compete, but only one receives the prize? So run to win. Each competitor must exercise self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. So that picture that was kind of, you know, just in jest started to become more meaningful to me, because I was thinking, you know, I want that to be me. I want to be running for an imperishable crown. And so instead of it just being a joke, it became like that's like me. I want to be strong in that way. I want to run for the prize. It goes on. It says, so I do not run uncertainly or box like one who hits only air, kind of miss. Instead, I subdue my body, and I make it my slave, so that after preaching to others, I myself might not be disqualified, so that my efforts count. And so as I was thinking about that, it became more and more real to me that my picture was going to represent something to me. And that was, I am going to refuse to spend my life working for meaningless stuff. Meaningless stuff that's just going to go away. I'm going to refuse to spend my life on a retirement. Like it's all about, you know, we spend so many years thinking it's all about this last like 15, 20 years of our life. And that's what this whole life is about, is getting ready for that. That's craziness. We have an eternity we could be preparing for, that the things that we do here and now can count for eternity, and we're going to spend all our time worrying about the last 15 years of our life? Or we're going to spend all of our time worrying about getting things that we can do on the weekend, or just things that we think we can have, or relationships that we think are so important when they're not? What matters is the eternal. Things that last forever. Our relationship with God who lasts forever. The eternal things that God has promised. And I personally refuse to live my life for the things that don't last. So after I thought about that, I happened to be on my phone. And I saw, I can't remember where I was, but I saw some article. And it said that people on their deathbed commonly say that they wish they had taken more risks in their life. And so I was thinking about that, like taking risks. And I was thinking about how, you know, how many, am I really risking it all? And the answer is no. Am I really risking it all? If I'm going to give my life to running this race, that includes risk. That includes doing things where I don't know the outcome. You know, I was thinking about how we say walk by faith, and how really it's like, I want to walk by faith as long as I know everything's going to work out all right. You know, and I really relate to that statement. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm really going to do it. But man, let me make sure everything's going to be okay when I do that. I want my life to be one where I'm willing to take any amount of risk because it's worth it. Because I know God is eternal, and the things that I do for him are going to last forever. Those are imperishable crowns. And I was thinking about some of the things that even I'm going to speak about today, and how I become apprehensive about coming out and speaking boldly what's on my heart, because I don't know how people are going to take it. I don't know if maybe there'll be criticisms. Or when we're speaking about our faith, am I willing to just come right out and tell people what it is I believe and why and what it means to me and how important God is to me? Or am I going to be a little more passive and only wait for just perfect opportunities? And so this really started to become more and more important to me, this picture, because I was thinking, no, I don't want it to just be that I'm running the race, but I want it to be that I'm running the race and willing to risk it all in order to pursue Christ. In Luke, Jesus tells us this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For there is more to life than food, and more to the body than clothing. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add an hour to his life? So if you cannot do such a very little thing as this, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the flowers grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow,
And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today, wait, did I go through that? So I'll just keep going. Which is here today and tomorrow is tossed into the fire to heat the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you people of little faith? So do not be overcome or overly concerned about what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not worry about such things. For all the nations of the world pursue these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, pursue his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is well pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide yourselves purses that do not wear out, a treasure in heaven that never decreases, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is a strong, strong parable, or I don't even know if it's a parable, he's just talking. And when I've read this so often in the past, I thought, okay, he makes statements in there, and I start to nitpick it to see, is that even reasonable? And I think we have to look at it globally, and I think God's just saying quite simple through Jesus. He's saying, hey, life is not about all this stuff. Life is not about the retirement. Life is not about. Life is about me. Life is about relationship with God. Life is about pursuing. Life is about running the race. Life is about giving all for Jesus Christ. Is there something? Huh? Okay, I'll just go ahead with this. How's that? Okay. So my prayer is this. I would like God to give me the strength to risk everything. Everything for him. May I speak boldly about the things that he puts on my heart. Again, I feel things, and I don't know about you, but I feel them, and I get apprehensive about whether I want to actually say what's really on my heart. And I'm praying that God gives me the boldness to speak out, to say it, to speak to my friends, to speak to you, to speak to the people I come in contact with, to share boldly the things that I know are true, to be willing to risk, whether it's ridicule or whether it's loss because I'm pursuing something that could mean I don't live as comfortable a life, whatever it might be. But that I'm truly willing to risk it all as Christ is laying out. So with that, I want to say that I feel called by God. And I, if you know me well, you know I don't walk around and say I'm called by God very often. I'm just, it is not my way, because I feel like preachers so often use that kind of terminology. I had a word from God, and I don't know that I think that they do. But I want to say that I feel very much that God is leading me to a charge that will help answer a serious problem that we're facing at Harvest and see God work through the body of Christ to turn it into a wonderful blessing. And here's what that is. In our church, as well as churches across America, there is a divide. There is a gap in the ages and the generations. And that gap is getting wider. We see a problem developing that is a result of being in a post-Christian society. When you look around our church, you'll notice that there's the young, and then there's the older, and in the middle, it's very sparse. And this isn't a new problem. It's been going on a long time. It's just that it's getting worse. It's getting significantly worse. And the problem really stems from this right here. Did you know that 70% of young adults drop out of church? That is a staggering statistic, and it's greater than it's ever been in history. It's It's that if you go off to college, you're likely not coming back. The people that leave this church that are out of high school, they historically leave the church. And this is across the board. So it's not just about Harvard. This is across the board. We are experiencing this problem where young adults are just dropping out. And to make matters worse, the next generation is even in worse shape. I circled on the left Gen Z, and Gen Z are those that are really just graduating from high school now up to about 20. You know, it depends where you, what, they don't have an exact line as to what age is what. But it's right about 20, but the next generation is twice as likely, or there's twice as many atheists in the next generation as all of the preceding generations that are alive today. So we thought the millennials were difficult, and we were losing them from the church, which we were. And I'm telling you that it's getting twice as bad, because it's now popular to be an atheist. A lot of the kids that I work with, they tell me about all their discussions with atheists. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't really have that. We didn't have people that were like, I am an atheist. We talked to people that did believe and didn't believe so much, but they didn't come out and say, I am an atheist, and seem to be proud of it and talking about why. If this continues, we're not going to have anybody on the other end coming in. The gap will just get too wide. And if you're like me, I think, well, you know, most of these things always work themselves out. You know, they always do. But, you know, that isn't necessarily true. Look what happened in England, the Church of England. 1 in 4 Church of England congregations don't have a single child that regularly attends Sunday morning services. Is that crazy? Can you imagine going to church and there's like no kids? Because that denomination failed to reach the last generation. The current generation won't be found on church pews either. And if this generation continues, neither will the next generation. I'm sorry, if this trend continues, neither will the next generation. Church attendance in the UK is already down to just over 4%, down from 45% about 70 years ago. So what's going on in America has already gone on in Europe. The things that we are experiencing, we cannot just sit around and think, oh, it's all just going to get better. It always does. It's the way it always goes, and it'll be fine. No, what we're experiencing is different and worse. The gap is widening, and it's a serious problem. If we look at the local front, meaning the churches around in the north area here, I talked to various people in the youth in different churches, and it's the same everywhere you go. This is not a Harvest issue. This is a problem throughout this north area. It's a problem, of course, throughout the country. We work with some students in some other places, and they wish that they had more too. I mean, this is a common thing. And it reminds me kind of like the frog in the kettle, where we are experiencing this, and it seems bad today, and it just kind of gets hotter tomorrow, but we don't know what to do, and it just gets worse and worse, and before you know it, you've boiled like the frog. You don't know what happened. And again, as that time goes by, the gap just keeps getting wider and wider and wider. And I guess what I'm wanting to say today is that we need to close the gap. And that is the conviction that I felt when I was looking at my picture and knowing that I wanted to talk about this, because there's a certain amount of fear of saying, I want to be the person to close that gap. But it's true, I feel compelled by God to build a vibrant college and youth adult service and discipleship training program at Harvest. I feel compelled to do that deeply. I imagine Harvest being a place without an age gap. I imagine Harvest being a beacon of hope for college and young adults in our area. I imagine Harvest with a discipleship training center. I imagine Harvest having a steady flow of servants and ministry leaders. That is what I'm imagining. But we can imagine that all day long, but how do you get there from here? Like I say, I talk to other people, and they all know that their churches are also in the same boat. This is not a new problem. This is not something that we're not all aware of. We're all experiencing this. And everybody's scrambling, trying to figure out how in the world are we going to develop this group, this age group that we can't seem to reach, that they leave the church, they go off to college, and they don't come back. How do we pull them in? They don't seem to be interested. What do you do? Because as convicted as I might be to do something, it doesn't mean I can, right? How do you go about it? So I've been pondering this for a long time. And I think that I have felt this way, is that I think Scripture gives us a model of spiritual discipleship and relational ministry for building up the body of Christ. And what we mean by discipleship is that we work intently with people. We work with them in one-on-one or one-on-two, three, four, small groups where we really get down to the deep issues of life. Like, what are you really thinking and feeling? And discussing the issues in small enough environments where we truly are reaching the hearts of the people that we're talking to. And so with that in mind, about a year ago, I thought, well, one of the ways that we could do this is to start like an internship program. And in your bulletin, I have a postcard there with this program written out. But a year ago, I didn't have a name, and I decided to call it HIP. You know, I'm kind of hip, so thought, yeah. It stands for Harvest Internship Program. And the way that we would seek finances is by selling fireworks. We've been very successful selling fireworks. It brings in a lot of money. And I thought, hey, what if we got some more stands and the interns manage those stands? We could sell fireworks, and that would give them some money in order to be able to spend more of their time instead of just working full-time. You could work part-time, and we would help by supplying some funds to pay for your gas and some food and a place to stay, stuff like that. And so a year ago, I started this program, and the first person that I brought, I'm sorry, before I talk about that, here was the purpose. The purpose of the program is to develop interns to become effective life changers for Christ as they take on the challenge of developing our college and young adult program and overall growth of our next gen ministries at Harvest. To be in this program, what I'm looking for are students that are spiritually qualified for leadership, experienced leading and serving in ministry, guides others in their spiritual walk, are seeking a career in Christian ministry, and desires discipleship and hands-on training in a relational ministry setting. Which, by the way, those are pretty strong requirements for people of this age, this young. But I do believe that it's possible that there are students out there that have these kind of qualifications. And the first person that I brought on last year was Peyton. And in fact, Peyton's here this morning. Could you stand up real quick? That's Peyton. So I worked with Peyton this last year, and we built on our current successes. And we've been very successful with our high school group. It's called Not a Fan. Meets at my house every Sunday night. And some of the things that I think have made it successful is that it's a sharing environment, and we do that by making it a safe place. Make sure that people are able to share, that people don't laugh when we're sharing, making sure there's opportunity, making sure that it's just a safe place. It's spiritually focused. We meet for 3 hours a week. It's a youth thing, and we don't play any games, which is a surprise to most other youth people I speak to meet for that long. And games, we just don't have time. We got too much to do in our spiritual stuff. So it's very spiritually focused, and I think that's been a lot of the success. It's relational, has to do with We meet in one-on-one situations, in small group situations, as a group. We do everything relationally. It's discipleship-driven. And we really look for student leadership. One of the things, for example, is that a couple years ago, we had a student-led, started a Bible study at Starbucks down here. It got to be quite successful. Students were coming from the school, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was completely student-driven, and that carried on. It's been going for a couple years now, and so that sort of thing has really been important. So we wanted to continue building on the success of some of these ideas, and so we started a college group last year, and it's still small. Met this last year and really want to see it grow this year. And so as we're coming up, I'm looking to expand drastically, because to get to a critical mass, meaning to get enough happening to truly develop a high school program that moves into a college program and a young adult program, and when I say young adult and college, I'm looking all the way up to age 29, to make that happen where we have a service that we have enough students where we're able to successfully have a program takes a lot going on. And so I'm looking to bring on many more interns this year. I have four. The first four on the left are already in, and possibly have the next two, Matthew and Allie, on the right. And so I'm excited about this coming year. Again, I had my picture because I am not sure how I'm going to handle that many interns. I just feel like I've got to figure out a way to be able to hit this point where you have enough happening to indeed have a successful program. And this is not a one-person job, by the way. What I'm proposing here takes a lot. It takes the whole church. It takes all of you helping out. To be successful, it will require prayer, because this is really not about us. It's not about just a great idea. It's not about we want to accomplish something. You know, for something like this to really take hold, God has to be moving in our hearts. We've seen situations where there's a lot of excitement, and you get going, and things start to happen, but it kind of dwindles out if God is not truly making a difference in the lives of the people involved. And I know that absolutely to be true and a fact. And we need God to be the power that drives this. And we need prayer. We need ministry training. We need the people that are running the various programs in our church to help with that ministry training. we need to make room for young adult staff, financial and fundraising support, which I'm going to bring up a minute, that how are we going to raise those kind of funds, the ability to reach out and adapt with new generations. You know, we have the older folks and the younger folks, and there's very different kinds of thinking. And we've got to be able to be willing to pull together, even though our thinking is so different. Tom and Sherry Kriska are offering their housing for our interns, so I thank them for that. That's a big deal to have a place where they can stay. And I am just praying that God can help us to close this gap so that our church, as well as the impact that we have on other, the North area and throughout the body of Christ, that this gap has got to be closed, and we need to do what we can to close this gap. And so one of the things that you all can really help with is in our fireworks stands, we need a lot of people to be able to run those stands. And in your bulletin, you'll see that there's one of these right here, and it has on there three different ways that you can sign up, which we'll explain in a second. And that the fireworks stands does two different things. One, it supports the new internship program, which I'm going to bring up, and then it supports Next Gen Ministries in general, which is the goes from middle school, high school, as well as to college and up to 29 years old. And keep in mind that we do a lot of things, but we don't get any money through our general offerings. We're not a budget item for the church at all. All the money that we make comes from mostly the selling of the fireworks at these stands. And so what we're doing is we're opening 5 stands this year, and particularly one's difficult because to get a 5th one, we had to get one down in Littleton. So if you live down in that area, you could really help us out by helping at that stand. So we have 5 stands, which is more than we've ever had. We've run 3 before. This year we have 5. How are we going to do that? Well, for one, we've slimmed down. We've had probably too much staff, and we've slimmed it down. We're using more iPads. We have more scanners. We're trying to do more things efficiently to try to make this happen, as well as we're going to need more help. There's just no doubt about it. We need more help to make it happen. And just so you understand how much it's worth it to sell these fireworks, we will make probably around, if we pull it off, that's the big caveat, if we pull it off, we could make up to $35,000 selling these fireworks, which then fully supports, not fully supports, but mostly supports the internship program. It will support all the things that we do in our next gen, which has to do with all the things that we need here. You know, we use books constantly. All of our students have books for all the things that we go through. We always have food to keep our vehicles going. We have fall retreats, summer camp, winter retreat, work retreat. On all these things, we keep the cost really low so that everybody can go. And so all the sales at the fireworks stands helps to support all these different things that we do. And one of them is camp. And camp is coming up starting tomorrow for the high school. Camp has always been a big, big time for us where we have a lot of kids that come to Christ. We have kids that commit their life to Christ. And so by selling the fireworks, we give them an opportunity to make money by helping sell fireworks, and makes it so that everybody gets to go, because we try to make it so nobody gets turned away from being able to go to camp. So, again, if you can help, it's huge. We need your support. And there's 3 ways you can sign up for fireworks. You can either go out on the back table, and there's lists, and you can look at slots and fill in where you could work. You can go to harvestfireworks.com and online, just look at it and choose some spots there. Or if you're like me and you're not sure how to, sometimes you go to these places and they're all confusing, like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I just got into, forget it. Just check a box and put your name and contact information. We'll call you and we'll walk through, you know, how you could help us out, what the slots are or whatever your question is. So, really would appreciate that. So with that, I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and, let's do that. Dear Father, I pray that you would give me the strength to run the race the way you've asked us to do. I pray that that truly I would believe with so much of my heart that I'm willing to risk it all, that I'm willing to not even concern myself with the physical things of this world, Lord, that I would see running after you as so worth anything that I'm risking, Lord, that I know that my eternity is with you, that these are just brief moments of breaths that will soon be gone, and the imperishable crown will be the things that I did for you, Lord. Help me to believe that so deep in my heart that I risk it all, that I give it all, that I run with all my heart towards you. And I pray that other believers will feel the same, and that we will all come together, and that we will run hard, and that we as a church will work together to bridge this gap, Lord, to care for one another, to serve one another, to love one another. In your name, amen.